years?
Yeah. What are you going to be? Can we disclose that on air?
Oh.
I don't even know.
Oh.
Happy birthday to you.
You've been on the air for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you started on air? Let me do some math here.
I don't know.
Welcome back. It's Rosie on the House with callers online at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. Let's bring Dee into the conversation. Good morning, ma'am. Welcome to the program. All right. Well, we'll have to come back to her in a minute. Let's go to Nick, who wrote in earlier this week and says he planted pumpkins July 8th.
Okay.
Is that enough time? I'm trying to think through. How long does a pumpkin need to be carve worthy?
July. That's when he needed to do it.
All right. So he's done a good job. He said they all died, but a few. Now, he didn't say if that was the vines or the pumpkins themselves that died.
Well, here's the issue. July is when you need to do pumpkins to have them here, but whether you can stand to water them enough to keep them going, it takes copious amounts of water in Phoenix, Arizona, to try and grow a pumpkin crop from July to finish and have them. You know, we gave up. We tried it, and we tried it at Mesa in our garden, and it was big. We had a couple of great big pumpkins on there, and we just couldn't keep it watered enough.
So when I can't remember the gentleman's name that came and almost named Phoenix Pumpkinville because of all the wild pumpkins that were growing. Were these like little tiny cherry pumpkins, or were they right on the riverbed?
You got me. But my guess is there's lots of little wild gourds that grow in the desert out there, and it was probably those. And there's a ton of, you don't see them as much anymore. But that'd be my guess, is that little gourd that grows, and they grow right in the wet areas, the washes, the riparian areas, but it wasn't what we think of as a pumpkin.
Now, is that the same as all melons? I mean, there's a lot of cantaloupe, watermelon. Do those take equal amount?
Not as much. You know, pumpkins have a huge leaf, great big soft leaf, and watermelons have a really serrated, tight, small leaf. They don't need near the water that a pumpkin needs. So, you know, it's not the same at all.
We'll scoot down to Tucson and bring Dennis into the conversation who wants to talk citrus. Dennis, welcome to the program. You're on, live at Rosie on the House.
Yeah, Rosie, I've got a problem with the Valencia orange tree. I planted it about 3 years ago. I'm relatively new to Tucson. I've been here about 3 years in Arizona. And I wanted an orange tree beside the house, and so I planted this. I think it's a semi-dwarf, and it had lots of blooms and put out oranges that first year, but then it's not bloomed since then. And out of the top, it's growing these crazy branches with little tiny leaves on it. It looks like it's not even the same. It looks like it's two trees in one, the lower branches with the large orange leaves, and then the top with these little tiny ones, and it hasn't bloomed since the first time that I put it in. I don't know if there's any hope for the tree. Should I just pull it out and start over, or what?
Well, there might be a couple things going on. If it hasn't even bloomed, you're obviously not going to get much fruit. Now, the first two or three years of a citrus tree's existence after it's been planted, and I don't care how big you start with, I wouldn't expect much, and usually you're not going to get much. So part of it is the tree is just, you might have gotten lucky that first year and had a few blooms and had a few fruit. Now, I would probably give it one more year or so and see what happens. The other thing that could have happened, in these first 3 years, you've had two very hard freezes, especially in Tucson.
Right.
That could have well damaged the tree enough that you lost some of the blooming wood or tissue that would have produced blooms on the tree. In fact, they may have frozen the tree back enough that the third part of your situation is you probably have some suckers coming off the rootstock, it sounds like, that are growing up through the middle of the tree. Trace those limbs back to where they originate, and you probably should eliminate those. Those sound like what we call a sucker, or it's the wild right. growth, if you want to think of it that way, coming
and
off.
They'll have a different looking leaf on them. I mean,
absolutely, because it's a different plant.
Dennis,
it's a different plant. It's coming off of the rootstock. Citrus are grafted on top of a vigorous rootstock. That is, it's still a citrus, but it's not a Valencia orange. It could be a number of different things, and it won't look anything like the orange tree growth.
You mentioned you're new to Tucson, Dennis. Are you new to Arizona?
Yes. I moved here about 3 years ago from Colorado.
Okay. Well, welcome to Arizona. Tucson's a very nice town. I will tell you, at Savano Nursery, Eric Clark and Les Shibley will both tell you, don't waste your time with citrus in the Tucson area. It's just not quite
dwarf
warm enough.
Dwarf citrus on a patio, in a container on a patio.
Might be okay there.
Is probably the way to go in Tucson.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other things. If you've been to Savano or haven't found it yet, it's worth going out there. They have a lot of fruit, a lot of apples, a lot of pears. They even have some pistachio trees. So there's a lot of different options. But citrus, I mean, they won't even sell it, if I remember correctly, just because it'll get right to that spot where you'll have three or four warm enough winters where nothing happens. Wham!
Of course, it probably depends a little bit on where you're at in Tucson as well. But certainly dwarf citrus containerized in protected areas might be a good way to go.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie, for you.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.